You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is going on, Pacers fans? Happy Thursday. Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers. As always, I'm one of the hosts of this show, Tony East. I cover the Pacers for Forbes, and today we keep breaking our one episode a week chain because stuff happens, and stuff happened again. But this is the last time free agency stuff can happen because the team has finalized their training camp roster with the stuff they did this week. So this is the last time we'll have to dive in midweek for a pod like this, unless I have a guest on to talk about their most recent addition, but I highly, highly doubt that is going to happen. So officially, player number 20 for the Pacers for training camp is Naz Mitrulong. I hope I didn't say that name wrong, but I probably did. So they signed him to a two-way contract, which I think is not that interesting, but it kind of is, because I thought maybe them leaving it open was a sign that they were going to let some of the guys in training camp compete for that spot. But giving it to Mitrulong pretty much means that all of those guys who got Exhibit 10s, who we'll talk about in a minute since the roster is finalized, will basically be getting $50,000 to go to Fort Wayne, or they will join a different organization, because I highly doubt they'll make the final roster. But let's start with Mitrulong here. So Mitrulong played for the Pacers, actually, two summer leagues ago. 2017 Orlando Summer League, he played for the Pacers something like 9 points a game in 19 minutes, but didn't, I don't, they, you know, Orlando Summer League is different. There's not as many photographers down there either. I tried to find a picture of him in Pacers gear, and there's only two. If you type Naz Mitrulong Pacers into the image library, I get one is actually a picture of Trey McKinney Jones, which I thought was hilarious, and the second one is a picture of his back while he's playing defense, and it's a very unflattering image. So there's very little proof, but he did in fact play for the Pacers in that summer league, 9.2 points in about 19 minutes per game. But that is not at all indicative of what I feel like Mitrulong is and why they brought him in. He's like a solid scoring guard. He did well in summer league for the Cavs earlier this month, 17 points a game. And the Cavs are like a bad team, right? They have a lot of young guys. He's got to compete for minutes and time, and he played really well. A lot of Cavs guys, I was reading through some scouting reports for him, and a lot of Cavs people were kind of thinking he might get their second two-way contract spot. And on a team that is full of youth, I think him earning that would have been very impressive. So clearly that organization liked him. And he spent his first two NBA seasons after coming out of Iowa State with the Utah Jazz. His rookie year, he was on a two-way for them. Only played in one game, and someone described the stint to me, which is hilarious. So you should check out Mitrulong's basketball reference page if you get a chance, because his rookie year, I'm looking for his basketball reference page, and Google has decided it is now the fifth most important thing for me to see, even though I went to be first. So his rookie year, he came in for a minute, and they got a stop on D, and then he hit a three, and then got hurt and came out of the game, and that was all he played the whole season. He played literally 1 minute the whole year of his rookie year, but he hit a three, and they won 3-0 in like some small number of seconds. So his player efficiency rating, where league average is 15 and usually the league leader is like 30, was 133.8. And his BPM, where the league leader usually is like 7 or 8, is 54.4. Like, his advanced stats are hilariously busted, because he just drilled this 3. 1.5 true shooting percentage, literally as high as you could possibly get. So that's hilarious. His rookie season was unbelievable. Some of the best statistical output you can possibly have over a two-possession sample size. But he spent most of his time that year and his sophomore year with the Jazz G League affiliate, whose name is escaping me, unfortunately. But he did well down there, 18.3. I think it's the SLC Stars. There I go, I remembered. 18.3 points per game on 57.5% true shooting. So pretty good scorer and can do it efficiently. And he can kind of score on his own. Like, he doesn't, you know, he came out of Iowa State as more of a spot-up guy, but now he can kind of score on his own. Chris Fedor of Cleveland.com interviewed one of the Cavs' assistant coaches, Antonio Lang, at Summer League, and I think Lang was on the Cavs Summer League coaching staff, and Lang said, Naz has played great and really helped himself. He went from a guy who was a good ball player but more of a spot-up shooter. Now he's great in the pick and roll. I've been really impressed with the way he's playing. So in Summer League, he popped so much that he impressed one of their assistant coaches. And then before that, last year with the Jazz, he did not get the two-way, but they gave him two consecutive 10-day deals in like late February. So he actually played 14 games this past season, 84 minutes. Did not do as well, but he took a ton of threes again. Over half of his shots in the pros have been threes. He's taken a total of 21 shots, and 12 of them have been threes. But yeah, he has been one of the better G League players over the last 2 years, as evidenced by, you know, that 18 points per game, and he's developing as a scoring guy. You know, the Cavs assistant coaching staff really liked him, but he was able to get a two-way, so he didn't end up landing there. And he gets the last spot on the training camp roster, so pretty cool for the Pacers to pull him in. A lot of people from Jazzland really liked him and had a fun time telling me the story of that rookie year and his crazy advanced stats, and the Cavs Summer League guys really liked him. So I know there's no expectation for two-way guys. You know, they're probably going to be in four-way most of the year anyway, but good for the Pacers to get a guy that two other organizations liked in the past with their last spot. So yeah, that is the last signing. That's guy number 20, which means we should talk about the training camp roster and what it's going to shakeouts look like. So let's take a break and come right back to that. So that makes 20. It finally happened. It's finally 20. I don't have to... I can turn off all my Twitter notifications because I don't really care about the fringe signings for other teams at this point in time. I'll figure it all out later. I'm just happy that the Pacers are done so I can chill out. So they have 14 guys on guaranteed deal. I was wavering between, do I read them off? You all know them. It's Oladipo, Brogdon, Turner, Warren, Jeremy Lamb, Doug McDermott, Justin Holiday, TJ McConnell, Sabonis, Goga, TJ Leaf, Aaron Holiday, Edmund Sumner, and Alize Johnson are the 14 guaranteed for sure on the team this coming season, guys, going into training camp. So they have six other slots that they can fill because the training camp roster can go up to 20. That's how it works. But two of those spots are reserved for two-ways. It's kind of funky how that works, but they're on what's called the active list as soon as the playoffs end, and then they go to an inactive list when the NBA season starts and the G League season hasn't yet, and then they go back to the active. It's very confusing. But right now, Brian Bowen, the second, and the just-discussed Nazmi Trulung fill those two-way contract slots, which gets the roster to 16 and still only 14 guaranteed slots. So the last four, we discussed Amita Brima when that got brought up about 2 weeks ago. And with that pod, I also talked about Jakeenan Gant and C.J. Wilcox, the two guys they signed literally day one to those Exhibit 10s. Those three guys are the three, and then last week they signed Jakar Sampson to, I don't know if his deal is Exhibit 10, but those four guys will compete for the last slot. Now, the weird thing about Exhibit 10 for Jakar Sampson is he cannot get a two-way. So to have a two-way contract, you can only have played three seasons or less in the league in total, and he is over that amount. So he cannot get a two-way at all. So giving him an Exhibit 10 is just saying you either are going to play on our G League team or not. Now, Sampson earlier this summer had an offer to play in China, and I think he took it. Keith Smith of Yahoo reported that deal. So I think that to lure Sampson away from this Chinese team's offer, there has to be some guaranteed money there. So if it's over $50,000, he cannot get an Exhibit 10. And then that deal, if that is how it's structured, which is my guess, would be more like a prove-it minimum deal. You know, maybe it's very lightly like $100,000 guaranteed, but he gets to be on an NBA roster. And then they don't feel bad waiving him to create a spot for a contributor on the buyout market if there's injuries, but they're already a deep roster, so who knows what the deal is with that. But my official guess is between the four guys, so C.J. Wilcox, again, that's C.J. Wilcox, Jakar Sampson, Jakeenan Gant, and Amita Brima, that they're technically all competing for the last roster spot, but I think Sampson has a substantial leg up on the other three guys, and Wilcox and Gant and Brima are just guys that they wanted on the Mad Ants, so they brought them in on Exhibit 10 deals. But that I don't know that, but that's just given the way the contracts are structured, given the skill of those players, and just the scuttlebutt. That is my official prediction on what ends up happening with those guys. But the Sampson signing is not technically official yet, so we'll never truly know what that one's. Same with Brima. That one will be official for a while because technically his G League rights are still owned by the Austin Spurs. So there has to be like a trade. It's so confusing. So I don't know. Sampson might be signed sooner But Bream probably won't be till much, much later in the summer that becomes official. Anyway, I think when Samson does become official and we can see some of those contract details, we can know more about that. By the way, I was thinking I had to save this for the last segment, but I don't. I was wrong about Justin Holliday being not the room exception. He actually did go into the room exception just based on the order of transactions. So they signed TJ McConnell first into cap space, and that they signed Sumner into cap, his extension, and then into cap space, and then McConnell into cap space, and then used the full room exception on Justin Holliday to go over the cap. So they really forfeited about $1.3 million in space, which is just a minimum. I mean, it doesn't matter. So they don't have any spending power on the buyout market besides just, like, come play for a good team. Hopefully that can be enough. I mean, it was with Wesley Matthews last year, so if they have another big role like that, I'm sure someone will take their money. But, yeah, that I did not expect that structure, but that's ultimately what ended up happening. I'm not really sure what the pros of the way they did are, leaving that space open. But it is what it does. I mean, there really wasn't – the pro of going the other way wasn't, like, so big that I feel like they have an opportunity cost anyway. So, yeah, that became official today, Justin Holliday stuff. So let's take a break and talk about that, because he had a press conference and TJ McConnell had a press conference and talked to Mark Monteith, and there's some juicy – not really juicy, but there's some quotes from there that I want to talk about. So let's take one more break and talk about all that. So Justin Holliday in the house today, officially signs his deal 1 year with the Pacers. They ask him – this is from the Pacers.com videos. I did not go to this. He said he chose Indiana for the coaching and the culture, and then Indiana was like, "And kind of my brother," and kind of made like a little motion, which nobody laughed. I would have laughed if I was there at the presser, because I think that's funny. But yeah, I think the first two answers are more legitimate, because he expressed before that the Pacers had interest in him throughout the entirety of the free agency process. Like, early on they approached him, and then he kind of weeded through some other offers that he had, and the market ended up drying up as it went on, but the Pacers had interest the entire time, so he ended up choosing them at the end. I believe he chose the word choosing, because I'm sure he had other offers that he could have picked at that point in time, but I still think it's interesting to see why he chose here, because his role, and I'm sure we'll hear more quotes from him and the coaching staff, et cetera, about his role going forward, but his role is not super clear yet. It's not really... You know, I'm not sure if he's going to be like the low-end minutes wing backup, or if he's not going to play at all and he's just kind of a vet, or if he'll get a sizable minutes ahead of McDermott or something. It's hard to foresee exactly how much Justin Holliday is going to play, but I think he chose here for good reasons, and he'll be a free agent again next summer, so he can get back out there and get his money. So cool to hear him choose the Pacers for the same reason it seems like all these vets choose this team. Now he's in the house. But the big one... This isn't really the big one. The big quote for me came from McConnell the day before. So TJ McConnell in the house, signed his deal, which is flat $3.5 million both years, $1 million guaranteed the second year. So really, if they waive him, he gets $4.5 million to potentially be the backup point guard. So how I imagine this working is, if Aaron doesn't prove he's ready, they might just keep him next year. So it's either 2 years, $7 million to play ahead of Aaron, or 1 year, $4.5 million. To kind of mentor Aaron and then end up being behind him at the end of the year. So we'll see. But there's a fun story. You need to go read Mark Monteith's story on Pacers.com. It's hilarious, because McConnell was in for Miles Turner's workout with the Pacers because they needed someone to like pass the ball. Well, Miles Turner and Kaminsky worked out together. So they were like the screen setters, and McConnell had to pass. And then after the draft, apparently McConnell said to Monteith, he said, "I was going to text Miles and say, 'You're welcome. That's why they drafted you, because I was your point guard in that workout,'" which I think is funny. He ultimately didn't get drafted that year, went to the Sixers, blah, blah, blah. But now he's here. And I have been curious, and has been everybody, did they sign this guy to be the third string point guard or the second string point guard? Is he going to start and have Brogdon move on to the wings early in the season before Vic comes back? You know, no one really knows, and I am intrigued by that. So, first of all, he just said the same thing as Holiday, you know. Their discipline, that starts with McMillan, I wanted to be a part of that, he said. You know, all the stuff that you get. I should have said this for Holiday, but that, you know, that's like your cliche answers that you get when guys come in here. Of course, you like hearing it, because it's good. That's why they all say it, because it's stuff you like to hear, but still. But he said he has not been, well, this is not an exact quote, this is Mark paraphrasing, but he said, McConnell said he has not been promised a particular role and expects to have to fight for whatever minutes he can get as a point guard. So, he also references Holiday and Sumner are in the mix for minutes, and says, McConnell actually said, we'll just get to work and see what happens and go from there. I'm going to work my butt off and try to get on the floor. So not being promised a role is interesting to me, because that means I think they gave him the money so he'd pick here just in case. Maybe it's an insurance policy, but it seems more like it's genuinely going to be competition. But if they didn't promise him a role, I think they're leaning Aaron right now, and they'll just play McConnell if Aaron's not working, or situationally have, you know, a good vet to play. And maybe even, you know, when Brogdon's out of the game and Aaron's just gone on a long run, they can put Aaron at the two and have McConnell at the one. They can get a little creative early on. So I think that is telling and does ever so slightly bump Aaron up in my brain in terms of the hierarchy of who might be the backup. I don't know, but I can only read with the information that I have. So, that's what I'm reading off of that. Sumner also spoke a little bit after that, and he talked about, you know, nothing being really locked in. He said nothing is really locked in terms of roles that he can earn. He said training camp is going to be a competitive one. This is all to Mark. You have to read this story. It tells you so much about kind of the structure of this guard rotation subtly. So Sumner thinks he's going to be fine during minutes. I kind of agree. I think it'll be hard for him unless he's, like, amazing in preseason or something like that. I think it's interesting that he thinks, or that he has said, that there's going to be this battle for minutes in training camp. I think that's going to be fascinating to see how that shakes out. The preseason might actually matter for regular season minutes, so we'll see how many guys end up sitting in those games. But the big thing is just McConnell's role from this, and that's what I took away. And I really wanted to talk about that and how that shakes out for him, what the rotation might look like. But, yeah, surprising a lot of news this week, finishing some signings, announcing all the guys, so I don't think they're going to have a big announcement for Jakar Sampson or Brima, but you never know. So maybe I'll do a two-segmenter for that or something like that, but who knows. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will be back next week to do our mailbag. We've gotten a lot of questions, but please send more in. They're great. They're always great. So thank you guys so much, and we'll see you next week.